There is only one thing to see in the twilight realm of desire. It is called the threshold, the fortress of desire. The threshold is larger than you can easily imagine, perhaps 1,000 feet high, towering over a flat, featureless plain stretching out to infinity. The plain is grey. The sky above it is grey. A few stars shine, but there is no sun, no moon. Never has been, never will be. Desire has always lived on the edge. The fortress itself is the sole feature here. It is a statue of desire, him, her, or themself. For desire has never been satisfied with just one sex, or just one of anything, excepting only, perhaps, the threshold itself, which stands, singular and towering, its arms outstretched, its face uplifted in a beatific smile. The hair is cropped. The face is unambiguously beautiful, whatever sexual identity one might choose. The body is provocative, not possessing the angelic sexual ambivalence of Lucifer, pristine and pure, but actively hungry. Not just for sex, for everything. Utterly everything. Thus the threshold is a portrait of desire, complete in all details, built from the fancy of desire out of blood and flesh and bone and skin. But there is one feature which does not reflect the fortress's creator at this time. The chest of the statue has been opened as if for open-heart surgery. The flesh, cut into strips, has been pinned back, hooked to the chest around it, exposing the heart, while the face above, with its blank eyes, smiles upward at the grey sky. The fortress's chest reveals exposed muscle tissue, separated ribs, and part of the right lung. At the top of the visibly beating heart are the aorta, vena cava, and pulmonary artery. There is only one occupant at this time. Desire of the Endless.
The Sandman. Doll's House.
The threshold, this statue, is far too large for just one person. It contains two empty eardrums, larger than 12 marble ballrooms, and empty, echoing veins, like tunnels. You will walk them until you grow old and die, without once retracing your steps. Given desire's temperament, however, there is only one place in the cathedral of their body to make their home. Desire lives in the heart. Desire walks to the far end of the room enclosed by the statue's heart. The floor is even, but there are no straight edges anywhere else. The walls are coloured with organic blues and purples, hung with drapes and tapestries. The doorways are irregularly shaped. Unlike the statue, Desire is dressed, wearing a pinstripe suit and tie. Desire's hair is combed back. She, or he, or they, is smiling tightly, without humour. Desire walks through one of the heart room's irregularly shaped archways into a smaller corridor. On its wall hang sculpted emblems of Desire's siblings. These objects are the means by which the Endless communicate with each other. The first item represents a book old, leather-bound, dusty.
Destiny.
The next is an Egyptian ankh.
Death, sweet sister.
The third sigil represents the helm of Morpheus, Lord of Dreams.
Big brother, I'm watching you.
Desire passes the place where Desire's own sigil should be. Nothing is there, only a portrait, or perhaps a mirror. Where the next token should be, after that, there is an empty space, a gap.
Where are you?
The sigil at the end of the wall is a painting, a swirling mass of ungovernable colors.
Poor delirium.
But before that, there is a ring, a finger ring, with what looks like a fish hook on it, mounted at an angle which would cause immediate pain to the one who wore it.
Attend despair, sweet twin sibling. I stand in my gallery and I hold your sigil. Will you talk to me?
A figure forms in the air in front of Desire, three-dimensional, yet nebulous, and not quite opaque. It represents a naked, heavy female, with broken teeth, scarred arms and face, and a topknot of greasy black hair. This is Despair.
I am always ready to listen to you, Desire. Talk.
I have news.
Real news? The prodigal has returned.
What? Oh, him. No, he's still missing. No, I speak of Dream.
You seek to snare him in your machinations again? Desire. The Elder Three don't play our little games. It won't work. It can't work. Oh, it didn't work last time.
No, it didn't. Nada was a mistake. But things have changed, my love, my twin. There's a dream vortex, the first for a long time, and it occupies a human female.
On Despair's finger is the ring with the fish hook in it, and with it she idly tears at her smiling, fleshy cheek.
A vortex. Oh, so we wait.
Are we not endless, Queen of Despair? Yes, we wait.
Ah, I see. Just perhaps... Tell me no more. I must think about this. Goodbye.
Farewell, my twin.
Desire replaces the fishhook ring sigil. Desire has a new stratagem and is satisfied. For now.
Is there something you crave? Something sexual? Someone special? Something precious? Anything? Then you have felt it. It's there, in the longing, in the lust, the breath of desire, the caress of the threshold.
Mom woke me up when we were coming in for landing.
Wake up, Rose, honey.
My legs were cramped and I felt generally shitty.
We're almost there. Fasten your seatbelt.
No!
Miranda Walker is 56. A thin, nervous woman, her hair graying slightly. Solid American middle class, not badly dressed, not well dressed. She will want a cigarette when the plane has landed, several. In fact, she is a chain smoker. Rose Walker is 21. Waif-like, with the build of a ballet dancer. Her hair is shortish, colored red and blonde and black. No makeup, pale lips and big green eyes. She wears a slightly baggy blouse with jeans.
Rose, wake up.
Mom, I had such a weird dream. There was this huge, fat British guy and these women, and we were living in this house. You were in the dream, and I found Jed again.
Mm-hmm.
Mom wasn't interested in dreams back then.
Rose, just fasten your seatbelt. This airport, Gatwick, is it near London?
How should I know? Ugh. Tastes like something died in my mouth a couple hours back.
Yeah? I got some breath freshener somewhere in my bag. It's so green! Look at those fields. Our first time in England.
It's not your first time, Mom. You were born here.
That was a long time ago, hon. I was just a tiny kid when Mom and Pop went to the States. I don't remember.
It took about an hour for us to get our bags and clear customs.
God, a cigarette. Finally.
Mom, that must be the guy who's meeting us. Over there. Even if he hadn't been holding up a sign with her name on, the guy stood out from the slob taxi driver scattered by the barrier. Silver hair, black suit, sober tie. All he lacked was a bowler hat.
Hi, are you the attorney? Mr. Holdawell?
It's Holdaway, madam. And we call ourselves solicitors on this side of the Atlantic. May I take it that you are Mrs. Walker?
Who else am I going to be? I'm Miranda Walker, and this is my daughter, Rose.
Hi. He was like something from Masterpiece Theater. I could tell Mom was impressed. I wasn't.
Let me help me with your luggage, Mrs. Walker. This way.
Listen, now that we're here, can you finally tell me what this is all about? It's not that we're not grateful. Free vacations in England don't grow on trees.
My client will explain everything very soon. Now, if you'll both come this way, the car's in the car park through here.
Five minutes outside the airport, and we were driving through the British countryside. I was underwhelmed, but Mom seemed to like it.
Wow. It's also green. Must be all the rain, huh?
As you say.
So when do we meet our mysterious benefactor then, Mr. Holdaway?
My client lives about 20 minutes from here.
He must be very rich to fly us all the way over here for 2 weeks.
Yes. Yes, she is.
She? Oh. I was so excited when I got your letter. I phoned Rose and I said, Rose, we're going to England. She thought it was some kind of practical joke at first. Isn't that right, Rose? Rose? Rose! That girl, can you believe it, Mr. Holdaway? She's fallen asleep again.
Oh, come on! Abel! If I wanted silly tittle-tattle and hedge gossip about swirling things, I would have asked you for it.
What is this place? Who are these people?
Those who sleep enter the dreaming, the realm of Morpheus, Lord of Dreams. Rose, dreaming, watches Morpheus's librarian, Lucian, who is currently attempting a census of its varied occupants. The inhabitant of the House of Secrets is proving less than clear on the subject.
All I want is a list of the entities that reside here.
Lucian, improbably tall, bespectacled, and dressed like a Victorian schoolteacher, carries a heavy ledger in one hand and a quill pen in the other.
If you put it like that, there's me, and there's the house itself, and of course, and the bottle imp.
Abel, the regularly murdered brother of Cain, stands in the doorway with Goldie, the gargoyle chick, upon his shoulder.
And there's probably something unspeakably nasty in the sub-basement, but I don't ever go down there. Oh, my oh dear, I seem inadvertently to have omitted my friend.
This baby gargoyle?
It's called Goldie.
So cute.
That's better. So, you, Abel, check. The House of Secrets, check. Bottle imp, check. Something nasty in the basement.
Sub-basement.
Sub-basement, check. And a baby gargoyle named Goldie. A new addition, eh?
Yeah, sure.
Thank you, Abel. Everything seems to be in order. And don't go spreading foolish rumors, eh? Yes, thank you as well, Goldie.
The palace of the Lord of Dreams is no longer the ruin it was when he first returned from captivity. Not that the sleeping Rose Walker is aware of its history. She dreams of elegant towers and walls studded with jewels and gems, covering not so much acres as what seems like square miles.
11,001, 11,002, 11,003.
Lucian, reading from his ledger, walks up the driveway to a huge gateway, guarded, to Rose's alarm, by three huge mythological beasts. A wyvern, a hippogriff, and a griffin. They allow him to pass through the great outer doorway.
11,014.
The palace of Dream contains many rooms. As befits a dream, and Rose's dream in particular, none of them appear to have any logical connection to each other. The hallway is lined with suits of armor. Lucian bustles through, lost in his calculations. In the next room, the suits of armor give way to storefront mannequins, unclothed, lining a huge swimming pool. The only way to walk across is by means of a long, unsteady plank. Lucian pays it little heed.
11,053.
Each room presents new inconsistencies. Rose's dream seems almost random in its variety, yet Lucian is a constant factor, refusing to be distracted.
11,058. 11,059. 11,060.
The room through which subway trains pass is of no consequence to him either.
As I thought, only four big ones unaccounted for. I have completed the census, Lord.
Hello, Lucian.
Dream's throne room is huge, vaulted, and gothic. Its arched windows, covered by heavy drapes, are the last barrier to the madness of pure dream, which is at the true heart of the dreaming. The throne is at the center of the room, a huge one-piece carved chair made of black marble. Morpheus stands on the steps leading to it, in his black robe, with the hem of embroidered flames. Morpheus is every inch the dark, immortal, inhuman king.
Wow.
His deep-set eyes like black pits with stars in them. He looks thoughtful as he seats himself on the throne.
What tidings do you bring me?
Some good, some bad, my lord.
You have tallied them all, I presume?
Yes, sir. There are 11,060 accounted for. Some minor night kind are missing, a few of the lesser dreams and creatures. There are also a handful of new entities.
That is to be expected. But you said you had bad news.
Four of the major arcana are missing, sir. They are not to be found in the dreaming.
Name them.
Brute and Glob of your palace staff, sir. They vanished a few decades ago, as I supposed, to the fringes of the dreaming, but they aren't anywhere to be found. I never trusted them, my lord.
It was not in their natures to be trustworthy, Lucian. Who else is missing?
Well, the Corinthian.
I see. That could well be bad news. The Corinthian is not the most social of nightmares. And the fourth?
Fiddler's Green. He's not in the dreaming. Nowhere. I checked twice.
Fiddler's Green is missing. Well, that is passing strange, Lucian. He is, after all, Vavasor of his own dominion, and always so reliable.
I know, Lord.
These are all disturbing absences, Lucian. I do not like the idea of four puissant creatures escaped from the dreaming. I blame myself. Had I been here, fulfilling my function.
It was not your fault, my lord.
No. Then whose?
There is more news, my lord. Pure gossip amongst the night kind, of course, but perhaps under these circumstances it could be significant. On my travels, as I took the census, I repeatedly heard the same murmurs from the dream folk. There are rumours of a vortex, my lord. Perhaps you might wish to investigate?
I have already done so. The rumors are quite true, Lucien. There is indeed a vortex, a true annulet, the first of this era.
Then you must hunt for it, sir. It must be controlled.
I need do neither, Lucien. There is no need to alarm yourself so. The vortex is a she, not an it. If you look closely, you will see her observing us now from the corner of the throne room.
What?
Why, you are right, Lord. Quintessential vortex material.
It is me. They're looking at me.
And she's so young.
I'm dreaming.
Rose! Wake up, honey.
We've arrived.
Gotta be this traveling. Another weird dream. Ugh, like a fairy tale. Weird people. Kings and goblins looking at me.
Come on, hun. You're still half asleep. We're here. Say, your client, does she own all of this?
No, Mrs. Walker. This is a private nursing home for the elderly. My client is merely a resident. Shall we go in?
What's an annulet?
It's a kind of ring, I believe. Old word. It's an unusual thing to want to know. This way.
Thank you.
Annulet? Where did you run across a word like that, girlie?
I'm right. Holdaway is a total bozo. I don't know. I think that it was something in my dream. And please don't call me girly. I'm 21, and I wouldn't have liked it when I was 10.
I beg your pardon, Miss Walker. Miss Kincaid, your guests are here.
Please, come in. It isn't locked. Come in. Come in.
I don't know what I was expecting. Not her. Small, bright eyes. Hair mostly white, with a darker streak still in it. Old-fashioned dress. High lace collar. Mom said she had to be almost 90. But she looks younger. Like she hasn't used her face for 70 years, so the wrinkles haven't developed. She looks lost and fragile. Like a little China doll. And weirdly familiar. And I don't know why.
Hello. You're Miranda Walker, and you must be Rose. Come over here, darling. Both of you. Let me look at you. I'm Unity. Unity Kincaid. Yes, oh, yes, please, both of you, sit next to me. This is my room. I thought briefly about moving out, but the Bedford Square house was sold a long time ago, and I've lived here so long. Over 30 years, they tell me.
It's like an old-fashioned hotel room, in a top-class, old-fashioned hotel. On the nightstand by the bed is a clock, a glass of water, a file with papers and photos in it. But what catches my eye is the old doll's house on the table opposite.
That's all I have left of the old house. Holdaways held onto it when the furniture was sold, along with a few other personal possessions. I'm sorry about all this rigmarole. It was my own fault. I wanted to see you both, you see, and I thought perhaps if it were all explained to you first, you might not have been willing to come. And I couldn't have borne that. Jack, please leave us.
Certainly, Miss Kincaid. I'll wait downstairs in the sitting room.
I don't remember him, but I knew his father. Or perhaps it was his grandfather. Holdaways have been the family solicitors since the 45 Rebellion.
Listen, Miss, Kincaid, I don't want to be rude or ungrateful or anything, but what is this about?
Look in the mirror. You too, Rose.
What?
Don't you see it, dear? I'm your mother, Miranda. I'm your grandmother, Rose. Don't you see?
You're wrong. My mother, she's dead. I knew my mother. This is crazy. No.
hush. Rose, darling, can you wait outside, please? I ought to talk to your mother alone.
Sure.
Miranda. Just sit there, dear. Please, don't cry. I have to show you some documents.
Wow. It's true. I know it's true, even if Mom can't see it. But this kind of thing doesn't happen to you, does it? It happens to other people. So much was happening so fast. I wish I could remember my dream. There was a man in black. No, not black. He looked like he was dressed in the night. Psst. Huh? Hello?
In here, my duck?
The next door down the hallway hangs half open. The room beyond is dark. Who's there?
Hello, Rose Walker.
Do I know you? The room is dark, but I hear three voices. Women's voices.
Hello, Rose Walker.
This one sounds the youngest.
You're at a crossroads, Rose. You've learned so much today, child.
This one sounds like a trick-or-treat.
Your whole family. My butterfly, together for the first time.
She sounds nicer. Like a mom.
Together? Except for your brother, of course.
Jed. You know about Jed? Who are you?
Oh, names, names, names. Each name is but a single aspect of the whole. Be satisfied with the trinity you have. For example, you wouldn't want to meet us as the kindly ones.
Kind?
We can only caution you, sister. We can't protect you.
Protect me? From what?
From life, my posy, my puppet. And from more than life. From the things that hover beyond life, thrashing themselves against it, trying to get in. Daughter, beware dreams and houses.
Who are you? Your voice keeps changing. How many of you are there?
I am one and three and many. But that was the wrong question, child. Had you asked the right question, I could have warned you against the Corinthian. Told you of Jed and of Morpheus. Now, you're going to have to find it all out on your own.
Afraid we can't do any more at this time. A bitch, huh?
Good luck, my sparrow. My daughter.
Sister.
Child.
I don't get any of this. What are you talking about? What is this room? Where's the damn light switch? Huh? A broom closet.
Rose?
I...
Are you okay, hun? Sorry I startled you.
You've been crying.
Come here, baby. Seems your grandmother and I have a lot to tell you.
Grandmother?
Yes. It's all true, Rosebud. She's really my mother. Come here, we'll tell you all about it.
Nothing. Nothing's the matter.
I was ill for a very long time, dear. I slept for decades. I only came to my senses last year, but even so, when I was ill, I had a baby.
But if you were asleep...
And that was your mother, Rose. That was Miranda.
Oh.
My family arranged for the baby to be adopted. When I recovered, I called in Mr. Holdaway. I told him I wanted to know about the baby. And at first, he lied to me. Eventually, he admitted the truth. There had been a baby.
I'm listening to Unity, but my eyes have fixed themselves on the doll's house. It's just a trick of the light. But I think I can see a figure in one of the upstairs windows, leaning on the sill, just listening.
I am a very rich woman. We hired private detectives to find the child.
The figure is dressed in black, with a white face under a mop of black hair.
The trail was very cold, but there had been records.
His eyes are black pools with stars for irises.
Eventually they found Miranda. And you, Rose. I had Holdaway send you two the letters and the airfare and, well, here you are. The whole family. Together for the first time.
Not Jed, though. Has Mom told her about Jed?
I'm almost 90, Rose, but I've only really lived for about 17 years. In a funny way, I'm younger than you. I should give you something, shouldn't I? Here, something for you. A ring.
The amulet.
What?
It's all coming true, isn't it? My dreams.
What are you talking about, Rosebud?
What's happening to me, Mom? The woman in the hall closet, they knew about Jed. They said I should beware of the Corinthian.
What's the Corinthian?
Wait here.
Your wine, mister.
Thank you.
You want any more? You just ring room service. You hear?
I will. You've been very helpful. Thank you. That's good. You took my advice. Didn't go anywhere. Here. Let me loose that.
Listen, mister, I said I didn't mind the kinky stuff, but listen, you untie me, man. I'll do whatever you want, man. Just please.
Davey, I said we were only going to play, didn't I?
Yeah, just play. That's right.
Let me take these glasses off so I can see you better.
Shit. Your eyes are mouths, man. How can they have teeth?
Now, Davey.
This is a nightmare.
It's playtime.